This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Hydraulic fracturing has been a boon to South Texas. It's the reason why we're seeing the drilling in the Eagle Ford Shale and all those profits and all those jobs. Nevertheless, fracking is controversial. It takes a lot of water when water is in short supply, and now some say fracking is connected to earthquake swarms. In Texas, we're seeing multiple quake sites. In Springtown, Texas, they've seen 5 quakes so far this month. So what makes brings about the possibility of having quakes, and what are the causes? Cliff Froelich joins us. Cliff is the Associate Director of the Institute for Geophysics at the University of Texas. Welcome to The Source.
Hi, David. Happy to be on your show.
Great to have you. So, Cliff, let me ask you, first, this term, earthquake swarm. It sounds very hot to me. It sounds like a sensational term. Is this something that can I get away with calling these things earthquake swarms?
Well, you can call them that. Swarms is not a technical term. It's just that when earthquakes happen in a group close together in time, people call it a swarm.
Okay, so I'm not being over-sensational if I call it an earthquake swarm.
Nope, you can call it that.
Okay, great. All right, I'm absolved of being sensationalistic then. All right, so we're seeing these earthquake swarms happening in these areas, and the quakes tend to be around, the average maybe a 3 point on the Richter. Is that right?
Yeah, most of them have been a little smaller than 3, or some have been a little larger than 3. But we in Texas.
Okay, we seem to have lost our guest that we're talking about the connection of earthquakes, these minor earthquakes that are happening in what they're calling earthquake swarms, and the connection to hydrofracking, which is the technique that we use here, not just in South Texas, but it's very popular in the Eagle Ford Shale area. And it's become very controversial. About a year ago, the conventional wisdom was that what was causing these little earthquakes to happen in these areas was the injection of the wastewater and other waste products from the fracking deep into the ground, and that was acting as a lubricant to slip and cause these different geological formations underground to cause earthquakes. And Cliff, do we have you back?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay. Don't know what happened there, but we covered for you while you were gone. So I was just going over to the listeners that a year ago we thought it was injection wells, the waste disposal that was causing the fracking, right? They're causing the quakes, right?
Well, for the most part, that's true. That is, in Texas, I'm unaware of any quakes large enough for people to feel that were caused by the actual hydrofracturing. And if you look on the planet, there's been only maybe 4 examples where the fracking itself was causing the earthquakes, and all those earthquakes were smaller than 4. So almost all the fracas, as you might say, has been caused by earthquakes related to injection of waste disposal fluids. And what happens, when you're doing this, you drill a well, you frack the well, then you produce the well, and some of that frack fluid comes back, and then you got to dispose of that frack fluid. And so it's that injection disposal that sometimes is related to causing earthquakes.
So it's still the thought that it's the injection of this waste product into deep underground is what's causing these quakes.
Yes, the ones you're talking about in northeast Texas, and in fact, in Texas, it's the injection. Well, earthquakes in Texas that have been human-caused, some of them have been caused by injection of waste disposal, waste fluids, and some have been caused by production. But the ones that people have been concerned about lately have all been related to injection of waste fluids.
They really seem to be happening very frequently in the Oklahoma area.
Yeah, Oklahoma. Oklahoma is complicated. It's one of the places where they have had earthquakes actually related to the hydrofracturing. And Oklahoma also has natural earthquakes. So it looks to me like almost any kind of earthquake you want to have, Oklahoma has been having it in the last couple of years.
So that's what makes it interesting. We're here in South Texas. We're in like a low mobile zone, a very low earthquake probability up in northern Texas, Oklahoma area, a little more earthquake activity possibility. So as they do this and they're seeing these earthquake swarms, the concern is that we may have a you know, more volatile area. So, Cliff, we've got a lot of these disposal wells around Texas.
Yeah, in fact, there's tens of thousands of disposal wells, and some of them have been active, you know, for more than 50 years. So one thing, when you talk to someone like me, an earthquake expert, and ask, you know, is disposal related to earthquakes, I never hear about a disposal well unless there's an earthquake near it. But if you talk to someone in the oil patch, I mean, they would say, you know, we've got thousands of these things, and we've been doing this for decades, and it's not a problem. And both points of view are correct. That is, a lot of the earthquakes you hear about lately are related to disposal, but the vast majority of disposal wells don't have any earthquakes related to them.
So we've had booms of oil drilling before in Texas. Did we record? Did we have the ability to keep track of the earthquakes in those eras?
Well, to a certain extent, but even as late as 2005 in Texas, there were only a half a dozen sort of continuously operating earthquake stations. And so you could only record earthquakes that were, say, magnitude 3.5 or 3, and you could only locate them to within, say, 5 miles or so. And that's not really close enough to decide, you know, are they related to a particular well.
So we've gotten a lot better.
Well, we got somewhat better. That is, right now there's maybe a dozen stations in Texas. A lot of the research I've done was related. There was a two-year program where the National Science Foundation was operating a lot of stations, and there were almost 100 in Texas. So the reason I was able to locate some earthquakes more accurately and smaller is because we had an unusual number of stations for a two-year period. But that's gone now. Those stations are on the East Coast right now.
Okay, we're going to pursue that, find out more about these earthquakes and if they could become minor earthquakes to major earthquakes, if the whole thing could change. As we continue our conversation, we're opening up our phone lines. If you want to call in and join the conversation, the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Looking at the connection between earthquakes in Texas and Oklahoma and fracking. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, it's 3:15. I'm Steve Short with a look at San Antonio traffic. There is an accident reported on the west side on northbound Loop 1604 at Culebra.
KSTX traffic is made possible by rentatoyotasanantonio.com.
It's going to turn mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 58. It'll be partly sunny on Tuesday with a high near 74. Currently, it's partly cloudy and 79 degrees in San Antonio.
Support for KSTX comes from UT Medicine San Antonio, the medical practice of the School of Medicine faculty from the UT Health Science Center. More at utmedicine.org. Support for KSTX comes from Sushi Zushi, with dine-in, takeout, and delivery at their Stone Oak, Lincoln Heights, Colonnade, and downtown San Antonio locations. Party platters and gift cards available at restaurants and sushizushi.com.
You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about earthquakes and fracking and how there is a connection between the two. We're finding out more about that from Dr. Cliff Froelich, he of the University of Texas at Austin, researching the links between fracking and earthquakes. And Dr. Froelich, describe how fracking and how disposal wells, that seems to be the greater culprit, is causing these quakes.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a no-no to say that the fracking is causing the quakes, because it isn't. And also, if the fracking was causing the quakes, the oil companies would be sort of stuck in producing. But if the disposal is causing quakes, they have alternatives. They can dispose in a different well that's not going to cause quakes, or they could even treat the wastewater like you do sewage if they wanted. So You're doing a disservice as a media person when you say that fracking causes earthquakes.
Okay, well, I'm just I'm sorry, but that's I thought you said that. You said that that you've seen at least three well-documented cases where fracking caused quakes.
Yeah, that's on the planet Earth, where there's say a million frack wells, and whereas there's tens of thousands of disposal wells, and there's dozens of cases where the disposal causes it. So, the fracking, it's true, there have been cases where fracking causes earthquakes, but I'm unaware of any in Texas.
Okay.
So it's just not the issue.
All right.
But anyway, back to your question. It's not entirely understood how this works, but way we think it works is that there's there's stress in the crust and faults in the crust pretty much everywhere, and they're stuck. There's stress on them, but they're stuck because they're high friction. And if you pump fluids into the earth and they get to the fault, it changes the friction on the fault, and the fault can slip. So it isn't that the injection is causing the stress that causes the earthquake. There's stress already there, and the injection is just reducing friction so the earthquake can happen. That's the usual model for how it works.
Okay, our phone lines are open. If you want to call in, you got a question about the connection between earthquakes and the disposal wells connected to hydraulic fracking. The number is 614-8980. And Tracy is on the line. Tracy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. I guess the question would be, I think the numbers you threw out were 50,000 disposal wells in Texas versus 214,000 exploration or production wells. How can you differentiate between what's causing them? Is it because you can pinpoint what part of the formation it's coming from and you can only dispose of in certain formations, whereas you put a production well into a different level of formation? How are you definitively able to tell that it's coming from disposal versus production?
All right, Tracy, thanks for that phone call, and we'll let Dr. Froelich answer that.
Well, if you locate earthquakes very precisely, and then you look on a map and you plot where the injection wells are and the production wells, what you find is no correlation between the production wells, and you do find a correlation with the injection wells. So it's just a simple empirical observation that the earthquakes tend to be near the injection wells and not the production wells in most cases. There are a few examples in Texas where production has caused earthquakes. There was an earthquake in Mejia in 1932 that was probably rated production. Earthquakes near Alice in 1997 and 2010. That's Alice, west of Corpus Christi, not Dallas.
Alice in Jim Wells County.
Yes, that's the one. So there are earthquakes that are probably related to production, but the ones, again, that are on everybody's concerned about are the ones related to fluid injection. And some of that's because these are in, like the ones in Dallas-Fort Worth, where, that's an urban area, not really, an earthquake there is not necessarily a good thing, whereas in West Texas or in some remote areas, it's not a problem.
So we're talking about quakes that come in around 3 on the Richter. These people describe them as like sonic booms. They could hear something, maybe a little bit of shaking, but it's not a catastrophe.
That's true. I mean, magnitude 3 earthquakes, sometimes people think it was thunder. We talked to a lady in the Alice area with 3.9. She said, I thought my six-year-olds had gotten on the tractor and run into the house. And, of course, I didn't ask her why the six-year-old might be on the tractor, but that's what it felt like to her. Now, there have been some earthquakes that have been bigger than 4, and, of course, they can cause some damage. There was an earthquake in East Texas near Timpson that was a 4.8, and it took some brick veneer off houses and was a little more serious.
Okay, back to the phones. The number is 614-8980 if you want to join the conversation talking about fracking and earthquakes. John is on the line. John, welcome to The Source.
Thanks. I had a question concerning the lubrication. If the lubrication, how much power does that lubrication have? For instance, you said that there's already friction that's going on in the ground. I'm wondering at what level that friction needs to be in order for that lubrication to really have an effect. Is it a large quake matter that the lubrication can have effect, or are we only going to see small quakes from that lubrication?
All right, John, thanks for that call.
Okay, let's see. The way the friction works, I call it the air hockey table model. If you imagine air hockey table, if the air is off, you can tilt the table and you put a puck on it, and the puck just sits there because there's friction between the puck and the table. On the other hand, if you're sitting there with that tilted table and you turn on the air, the puck will slide. So the forces on the puck haven't changed. It's just that you pump a fluid under that puck, the fluid air, and the puck can move. So faults work the same way. That rock is sticky stuff. It's rock on rock. You pump a fluid in there, and the rock can slip. Now, in terms of the size all depends on how much slips. A magnitude 3 is like 2 football fields that are moving less than an inch. So, you know, it's not a huge huge sort of thing. So you're talking about pretty small faults and pretty small slips.
Right. So, but if we have a lot more water being injected into the area, we would could see these quakes grow in magnitude.
Yeah. If the fault was bigger, you could have a bigger quake. There is no history that suggests that the quakes grow over time. That is, there hasn't been any situation in the country where people start out with magnitude 2s and then they get magnitude 3s and then they get magnitude 4s and so on. That is you haven't seen that anywhere yet, but that's an empirical observation, not a theoretical.
So I'm just looking at this my notes here. Art McGar from the U.S. Geological Survey Earthquake Science Center has been looking at the amount of fluid stored in a disposal well, if it will affect the strength of the earthquake. And his answer, he says, if we add more fluid, that they will become stronger.
Art McGar is a friend of mine, and his theory is controversial. But, you know, this is the whole subject of earthquakes that are caused by injection is a topic for research. And so not all of us believe that Art is correct, but he's a well-respected scientist and it's part of the dialogue where we're trying to work this out.
All right, let's go and get another caller on the air. Aaron is on the line. Aaron, welcome to The Source.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi. Yes, my question was, do the injection wells and then the earthquakes, can they potentially cause a contamination of residential wells or aquifers or bodies of drinking water nearby?
All right, Aaron, thanks for that great call. Appreciate that question. Dr. Froelich.
Well, that's a good question, and in fact, that is one of the concerns about injecting wastes and earthquakes. I guess I'm going to have a yes and no answer. The no part of the answer is that typically, the injection is done well below drinking water aquifers. So if you simply drew a cross-section, you'd find the drinking water was coming from, you know, 1,000 feet or something. And then you'd go down a mile or two to where the injection was. And so there's an awful lot of rock material between where the injection is and the drinking water. And second of all, the quakes we're talking about are small quakes, usually 3, where we're talking, again, about a couple football fields, 100 or 200 yards. So to see a crack that would go from a couple miles to near the surface is unlikely. That said, you know, a scientist, you can never say never, and that is one of the concerns, is that even if it only happens rarely, it's something that we have to be concerned about.
Well, let me throw something crazy your way. Could it be that these minor little earthquakes are a good thing? Because what you don't want to have is a lot of pressure building up over a long period of time and having one big earthquake.
That's been proposed. In fact, when the scientific community discovered that injection could cause earthquakes in the 60s, some people said, let's start injecting on the San Andreas Fault and let's get, you know, zillions of little earthquakes instead of a magnitude 8 every 100 years.
Well, you may not get that.
Well, of course, yeah. That's part of the trouble is it's not clear how well you can control it. And I guess my sense is it's more likely that if a magnitude 3 was caused, it would be a magnitude 3 that was going to happen in 100 years, not that we're going to get a magnitude 6 later. We're probably causing earthquakes about the same size that we would have had later. We're just having them earlier.
All right, let's get Rick on the line. Rick's a caller. Welcome to The Source.
Hello.
Hey there.
Yes, My comment is that saying that fracking itself rarely causes earthquakes is merely semantics, because if the drilling of injection wells related to the fracking was not going on, there would not be any earthquakes as a result of it. Now, I mean, it might be that injection wells needed to be drilled for all kinds of other waste, you know, other drilling activity besides fracking, but basically if the drilling activity was not going on, then there wouldn't be any earthquakes as a result of it.
Okay, Rick, let's take that on. So, you know, there's all sorts of activities connected to fracking. We've got all the truck traffic, and we've got all the waste products and stuff. So it doesn't matter to him. It's not the actual fracking as long as it was caused in the overall process.
Well, I think that's a good point. A lot of people use the term drilling or the term fracking as a generic term for the whole process. And in fact, like I say, the process is drilling, fracking, production, disposal. But I do think the public is confused. A lot of the public is unaware that it's not the fracking or the drilling. In fact, I've sometimes had discussions with the media where I explain this carefully. You know, it's not the fracking, it's not the drilling. And then the next day, there's a story in the paper that says, scientist says drilling causes earthquakes because people use it as a generic term. But I think it's important to be accurate about what's causing it because, again, if it is the waste fluids are a problem, there are other alternatives in an area. In an urban area, you could truck the fluids elsewhere, or you could just, I bet in 30 years people will say, you mean you just pump the water back in the ground? I mean, water is a huge problem for Texas. And so things like treating the water and reusing it is certainly an alternative.
Yeah, certainly when we inject that wastewater in these disposal wells, it pretty much leaves the water system. We never get that water back.
That's the idea.
So, I mean, usually if it comes out of the table, doesn't evaporate, how we're all taught we're in third grade basic science. And so now that is removed from our water system.
Yeah, pretty much. And again, water is increasingly a problem in Texas.
We know that.
I suspect in 30 years people will be treating a lot more of wastewater and rather than disposing it. Right now there's a lot of situations where pumping water into deep injection wells is by far the most cost-effective way to handle it, and that may not always be true.
All right. Well, we will take that on next time to see what water solutions there are out there. We definitely want to thank Dr. Cliff Froelich, Associate Director and Senior Research Scientist at the Institute of Geophysics at the University of Texas at Austin. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about low-T treatment and some of the risk that some men are subjecting themselves to when they get that treatment. This is The Source on KSTX.